پانی کے بلبلے بسنا.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. ریسپیکٹڈ لسنرز آف مرکز صحابہ, دا وائس آف اہل السنہ والجماعہ, وی ویلکم یو ٹو دس پروگرام. اٹ از دی انٹرویو سیگمنٹ ان الحمد للہ. ٹوڈے اٹ از وتھ مفتی فرحان کران. لیٹس ویلکم مفتی صاحب. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. تقبل اللہ منا ومنکم. لاسٹ ڈے آف عید ان شاء اللہ.
جی جی, الحمدللہ فار یو جوائنگ اس مفتی صاحب. اٹس بین ا وائل. جی, اٹ از دا ڈے آف ایٹنگ اینڈ ڈرنکنگ ایز رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہیڈ مینشنڈ, اینڈ دیز ایون اف اے پرسن ہیڈ ٹو فاسٹ آن دیز ڈیز ہی وڈ بی کنسیڈرڈ اے سنہ. سو دس ایئر مفتی صاحب, جسٹ یور کامنٹس کوئکلی, how we can, an advice in fact of how we can always refer to the sharia as our means of success and to shun our logic, which we many times find ourselves, this doesn't make sense, but then in hajj there are so many lessons for us.
Yeah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, wala aqibatu lil muttaqin, was salatu was salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursalin sayyidina wa habibina muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, our Shariat is so beautiful. Allah Ta'ala has made our Shariat so perfect, so beautiful, so easy to follow. People say, you know, it's so difficult to follow, you know, so difficult to do this year, so difficult to do that there. You know, it's so complicated. People don't understand the Sharia. If you have love for Allah Ta'ala, then everything becomes easy. If you have love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything becomes easy. Simple example, if you love somebody in this dunya, then you can see how people love these soccer players and they love these sports stars, and they go so crazy over them that they cut their hairstyles like them, even if it looks can look like a rooster also, but they will still cut their hair like that, because you know Beckham cuts his hair like that, so I also have to cut my hair like that. And silly things like a person, they make that slit on a eyebrow, you know, because the other, this TikTok star, he did like that, so now you must follow. So our deen is so simple. What Allah Ta'ala says you must do, just do it, and you'll get rewarded for it, and Allah Ta'ala will grant you Jannah for it. And Allah Ta'ala says stay away from something, you stay away from it. Deen doesn't work always on logic. Like I said, it's ita'ah. It is obedience. And Allah Ta'ala says on these days, don't fast. So we mustn't fast. If you fast on these days, you'll be a sinner. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, this is my mehmani, that you must now eat and drink. You're slaughtering your sheep, you're slaughtering your animal. You must eat of it. You must enjoy it. Don't fast. Right? 5 days of the year, you're not allowed to fast. Right? All other days of the year, you can fast. But these 5 days, the day of Eid al-Fitr, the day of Eid al-Adha, and the 11th, 12th, and 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, you're not allowed to fast. Any other day, you're allowed to fast. For example, Salah. Speaking about Salah, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. So Allah Ta'ala says that read what has been revealed to you from the Quran and establish Salah. Verily Salah prevents you from immorality and wrongdoing. And most certainly, the zikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, is the greatest. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ is the greatest thing. Greater than everything, anything in the world is Allah Ta'ala's zikr, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Because when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan stays away from him. Because when he forgets Allah Ta'ala, when he does not remember Allah Ta'ala, then shaitan makes him remember evil things, wrong things. So what Allah Ta'ala says here, that Salah prevents you from immorality and shamelessness and wrongdoings. And now a person might ask, how? But how does Salah, a person is reading Salah, he's doing actions with his body, how does that prevent you from doing immoral things and wrongdoing? So the Mufassirin, they explain that there are certain things to do in Salah. Do it correctly, do it properly, and By way of doing it correctly and doing it in its prescribed manner, then Allah Ta'ala will keep you away from shamelessness and wrongdoing. You see, if a doctor gives you a prescription, tells you, listen, your sickness, okay, you must take these tablets before meals, right? Now, if you, 15 minutes before meals. So if you take it after meals or you take it during meals, this medication is not going to work. It's not going to have any effect on your body. So you have to take it on its prescribed time. For example, Salah. Now, if you read your the Salah, the time of Dhuhr comes in at 10 past 12, right? And you say, no, I'm busy now. I'm free now, so I can, and I'm going to leave soon. And, you know, rather I just make my namaz now. It's not half past 11 now, you know. Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. Let me just do it now, you know. Allah Ta'ala knows my situation. No, bhai, if you're going to read Dhuhr namaz before its time, it's not going to be accepted in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Like the doctor said, you must take the medication before meals and you took it after meals. It's not going to have any effect. So that effect of salah will take place when a person does it on its prescribed time and its prescribed manner. Person says, no, but why must I read salah? Why must I go in ruku? It doesn't make sense to me. Why must I go in sajda? It doesn't make sense to me. And why must I read it in this way? Why must I make read qiraah first? Why don't I sit first and relax a little bit, then I can stand up afterwards? No, Allah Ta'ala says, do it in this manner, you must do it in that manner. And then there are two things which have an effect. So one thing is to do something with all its conditions and to do it in its prescribed way, in its prescribed manner, how Allah Ta'ala told us to do it. So the two points to take into consideration, that how does salah prevent you from shamelessness and wrongdoing? Number one, do it how Allah Ta'ala wants us to do it. So like the doctor says, you must do it in this way, we do it in that way. The second thing is, when a person is taking medication, and so when a person takes medication, then he might eat something which will counter the effect of the medication. So now when we are reading salah, right, now already automatically there is help from Allah Ta'ala that the person will be safe from wrongdoing. Now when a person does something to take away that effect of the salah, then the person will ask, but I'm reading salah, but nothing is happening. I'm not feeling a difference. There's nothing changing in my life. I'm reading salah for so many years. You know, I read my Fajr, Dhuhr, I'm a five times namaz, alhamdulillah. I go to the masjid, but why am I not seeing a difference? I'm still doing the same wrongdoing, what I'm doing, and my life is not changing. Then we have to see, we have to introspect that, okay, so this is the method of reading salah, right? Before salah, you need to make wudu. Are you making wudu correctly? Are you washing your heels? Are you washing your elbows properly? Do you make the niyat before making wudu? Do you read the du'as while making wudu? When you start your salah, what's your intention for reading salah? Are you reading salah to please somebody? Are you reading salah for some benefit, a worldly benefit? Are you reading salah for somebody besides Allah Ta'ala? Why are you reading salah? Then when you start your salah, then I'm reading my sana. Must be conscious. I'm reading my sana. Now I'm reading my surah Fatiha. Now I'm reading my surah in ruku. Make a ruku properly. Not a ruku that we just merely bow down and we up already. And then the person is already, he comes up from ruku and in coma, he's barely in coma and he's already jumping into sajda. And then in sajda, he's one Rabbi al-A'la, and then barely once one Rabbi al-A'la and he's already up again. So a person's ruku, his sajda, his qiraat is not correct. He's not, there's no khushu, there's no khudu in his salah. Previously, we spoke once upon a time about khushu and khudu. So there's no humility in his salah. There's no submission in his salah. He's not aware that is he reading salah to. So we have to be conscious of the fact that Allah Ta'ala is in front of us. Then all the veils are removed. When a person reads salah, all the veils are removed from him, between him and Allah Ta'ala, and he is conversing with Allah Ta'ala directly. So when all the things are put into place, when the time is right, you're reading salah in its correct time, your wudu is correct, and your khushu and khudu is there, and you are reading salah with all the arkan fulfilled, Ta'adili Arkan, everything is fulfilled, your ruku, such that everything, your qawma, your jalsa, everything is perfect. then it will have an effect. Then your salah will have an effect on you when you're standing and you are focused, your eyes are focused on the ground. Then when you are walking outside, your gaze will not fall on ghair mahrim. Your gaze will not go here and there and wander all over the place, because in your salah, your gaze was fixed on the ground. And when a person is reading his qiraat, then he is now conscious, I'm reading qiraat, I'm reading the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Then when he is out of salah, he will remember Allah Ta'ala. So this is how Allah Ta'ala saves a person from shamelessness and wrongdoing, when he is totally devoted to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in his salah, and he reads salah how Allah Ta'ala wants him to read salah, and he fulfills all the conditions, the sharait and the arkan of salah, then the salah will have an effect. Now, very recently, giving a talk somewhere in the masjid, and this after Juma Salah, this brother comes up to me. He says, Maulana, you know, you say that the Salah, it prevents you from shamelessness and wrongdoing. And so it's supposed to take an effect immediately, isn't it? Because Allah Ta'ala says it, when you read Salah, it will save you from shamelessness and immorality and wrongdoing. So it's supposed to have an effect at the same time. So I say, no, brother, it doesn't happen same time. When a person continues reading Salah and reads correctly, then eventually it will happen. It will happen that the person will stay away from sins. He said, no, Mona, I don't agree with you. I say, assalamu alaikum, bye. I started my sunnah. He's still talking. Then he got another uncle there on the side there, and he's telling me, you know, these people, they don't listen. They don't give you a hearing, man. They don't want to listen. You know, these Molana, they got their own ways in him. Now, how much you talk to a child, like, he doesn't understand. Yeah, like, first of all, he doesn't have a beard. He's not dressing the sunnah. So he must start reading salah correctly. Allah Ta'ala will guide him. Allah Ta'ala. When you meet some people like this here who come and object to everything, you know, what Allah Ta'ala says, do like this here, then they got something else to say. And so that person is not a Muslim. He's not a devoted follower of Allah Ta'ala in the Sharia. So he must always make dua that Allah Ta'ala keep us on the straight path. When we're reading Salah, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Allah keep you on the straight path. So that is why we're reading Salah, to be guided straightly, correctly. So the two remedies is to read your Salah with all the sharait and all the arkan fulfilled. Number two, don't do things which will cancel out the effect of Salah. So when we're not reading Salah, now we are, for example, maybe doing business dealings, we involve your interest, we involve in we gambling, or we're taking drugs, or we our akhlaq is not good. So now that cancels out the effects of salah. The salah has an effect, but now if you going to taint it with other kind of sins, and now the effect of salah will be watered down, and then the salah will not have an effect, and then we say things that now the salah is not changing my life. Because you need to change other aspects of your life to take away the effect of your salah, and then read the salah correctly.
Mufti Saab, moving to the next question, mashallah. How did Ibrahim alayhi salam get the title Khalilullah?
Ji, Khalilullah. This is a title given exclusively to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So all the anbiya were waliullahs. And different anbiya had different titles given to them by Allah Ta'ala. Now, Waliullah is a person, a friend of Allah Ta'ala. Now, this title, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah Ta'ala, that is a very, very special title. And narrated in Ibn Abi Hatim that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a very welcoming person. He used to love hosting people. He used to love hosting people. And whenever he used to sit down to eat, he used to first go and look for somebody who can come and partake my meals with me, who can share my meal, who can I share my meal with. He never used to eat alone. So one day he went out to look for a person to eat his meals with, and he's wandering around, and then he found nobody. So now, despondent, he came home. Imagine, he found nobody. So where was Ibrahim alayhi salam staying? In Makkah, Mukarramah, and then he moved to Sham. So wherever he was staying, there was nobody around. So he couldn't, there were people around, but he didn't find somebody to share his meal with. So he came back home, and now he came into his house,
And there in his house, he sees a person there. How did you? You just enter my house. You don't even ask permission. You knock on the door. I just see you inside here. Like, how can you just enter somebody's house without permission? And so one of the usul of Sharia is when you go to somebody's house, don't go and peep through the window there and just open, or the door was open. Oh, I just came inside because I found the door open. No, you must first knock. So anyway, this is this person inside the house. And he asked him, how did you come inside? Who gave you permission? Who gave you permission to come inside my house? He says, the real owner of this house gave me permission to come inside. Now, who is referring to? Allah Ta'ala. And the owner of the house, Allah Ta'ala is the owner of the house. He gave me permission to enter the house. Gotcha, okay? So, who sent you here? Why did you come here? What is your purpose for coming here? You're in my house. Now, tell me, now, why are you inside my house? He says that I came to give glad tidings to a special banda of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala takes this person as his friend, his Khalil. So Ibrahim al-Islam said that you must tell me now, who is this person? He must be a very big buzruk. I have to meet him. No matter if I have to spend my money and I have to travel the world around the globe to go and find this person, I will go and find him. And so how can I find this person? Now I will spend my entire life just looking for this person. I mean, such an important person. Allah Ta'ala gave him the title of Khalil. Special title, Allah Ta'ala, the friend of Allah Ta'ala. So this person said, you know what? I am Malakul Maut. I am the angel of death. Allah Ta'ala sent me here. And so he said, tell me, who's this person? He said, it's you. You are that person. And Ibrahim al-Islam is saying, really? You can't be joking now. And really, is it me? Malakul Maut said, yes, it's you. Allah Ta'ala gave you the title of Khalilullah. And so then he said that how and on what basis did Allah Ta'ala make me his Khalil? And why did Allah Ta'ala make me his Khalil? He says that because you love giving, you love sharing with people. That is why Allah Ta'ala made you his Khalil. So look at this quality of sharing, this quality of entertaining people, this quality of giving what Allah Ta'ala has given us, to share it with others, to share our meals with others. You know, the kuffar teach us, no, you mustn't share, you know, your saliva. That person's saliva is going to mix with your saliva, and you know, it's unhygienic, and it's not ethical, and you know, all these kind of terms that the kuffar used to take us away from the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to eat in one plate. You know, the husband and wife should share a plate. And that's how the muhabbat grows. And share a plate. Nabi Sassam used to put morsel into the Aisha's mouth, and the Aisha would put a morsel in Nabi Sassam's mouth. It share like that, and have a big heart, have a welcoming heart. When somebody comes to our house, entertain them. We see somebody, we try to help them, try to assist them. So this was the quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is high. He had a big heart, and he used to love to share and love to give. So on that, Allah Ta'ala gave him the title of Khalilullah. Another riwayat is mentioned that after Ibrahim alayhi salam was granted this title of Khalilullah, so much of taqwa and khawfi ilahi came into his heart that he said that you could hear his heartbeat from a distance. From a distance, you could hear his heartbeat. You know, like how a bird is flying. When a bird flies and it flutters its feathers, that is how you could hear the heartbeat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because now he's like, Allah Ta'ala made me his Khalil. And I must respect Allah Ta'ala even more. I must worship Allah Ta'ala even more. The fear of Allah Ta'ala gripped his heart. And you could hear his heart beating from even... You don't have to put your head onto his chest to hear his heartbeat. Just meters away, you could hear his heart beating. It was the fear of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. when a person entertains his visitors, then Allah Ta'ala becomes so happy. And Abdullah bin Mubarak, he was so well known in this regard that he used to invite his friends, his relatives, he's not a person off the street. And the person he didn't even know, he used to invite him for meals. And he never, Abdullah bin Mubarak also had this habit that he never ever used to eat without sharing his meal with somebody. And so somebody asked him, why do you do this here? He says, Allah Ta'ala doesn't question a person for the time he used to feed somebody. And when you're entertaining somebody, when you're hosting somebody, then Allah Ta'ala will not take you to account for that time that you used to entertain somebody, to host somebody, to feed them. And when you go for a dawat, when somebody gives you a dawat, then that time that you're spending in that dawat, eating by that person, you will not be accountable for that time that you spend there, because it is such a great ibadat. It is such a great act of worship that Allah Ta'ala is not going to ask you what you did with the time, because you were making another man happy, you were eating by his house, or you were entertaining somebody, you were pleasing Allah Ta'ala. So you will not get you will not have to give account for that. And most of the year, Abdullah bin Mubarak, he drifted off from Ibrahim al-Islam, but Abdullah bin Mubarak, he also had the same habit of entertaining people. So most of the year, he used to fast. And the days he used to fast, he used to make lavish meals and used to feed the people. Because he's fasting, now, although he's fasting, but he used to make lavish, beautiful, sumptuous meals and feed the people.
Mufti Saab, coming to the last question, inshallah, we've got about 7 minutes. Is there a way that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickly? A secret of the awliya as well, please.
Before we come to that hadith, also what pertaining to Abdullah bin Mubarak Hanani, as a great scholar, somebody came to him, and he was wealthy. Most of the lot of our awliya were very wealthy. Imam Abu Hanifa Hanani, Abdul Qadir Jilani Hanani, wealthy, wealthy. They had the ships sailing on the oceans, you know, with their goods all the time on the ocean, you know, import and export, and they were very wealthy, but they were devoted to Allah Ta'ala's worship and to serving the creation of Allah Ta'ala. So somebody came to him and said, you know what, I have a debt of 700 dirhams. Can you help me, man? Just help me out. Just 700 dirhams I owe somebody. This person is asking for the money. So the people also told him, you know, told Abdullah bin Mubarak that, you know, help this person out. So he said he wrote on a piece of paper to his accountant. He had accountants. He told him, he wrote on a paper there, did give this person 7,000 dirhams. They give this person 7,000 dirhams. Now he wanted 700 dirhams. Anyway, he closed the letter, sealed it, gave it to him, said, go and give it to this person here. It's my accountant there, secretary, go give it to him. So he went there. Secretary, the accountant opened the letter. He says, how much does Abdullah bin Mubarak owe you? He said, no, I am taking a loan from him. He said, you must give me 700 dirhams. So, say, there must be a mistake then, because here you wrote 7,000. Okay, let me just make sure. You know, in those days, they couldn't pick up the phone and say, okay, let me, I just need to make sure something. No, send a letter back to Abdullah bin Mubarak, ask him, maybe you made a mistake here. So he sent a letter back. He said, no, there's no mistake. It is 7,000, but now when you get the letter, you must give him 14,000. Say, Allah, but now he got the letter back. When you get this letter, you must give him 14,000. So he sent a letter back to Abdullah bin Mubarak and he said, if you're going to carry on like this, then all your resources will be finished. You won't have any money left. You're going to finish all your money like this. You know, the accountants generally, labeling all of them, but generally accountants are put up on the frugal side, you know, because they count every penny. So Abdullah bin Mubarak said, listen, who is the employer? If I'm the employer, if you accept me to be your employer, then you do what I say. If you think you're my boss, then I will listen to you. And so he sent in the letter. So, and what he wrote in the letter, he wrote that, you know, all the wealth in this world means nothing in comparison to the akhirah and the reward in the akhirah. See, because I read somewhere that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whoever spontaneously or unexpectedly pleases another Muslim brother, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. If you spontaneously, unexpectedly, that person doesn't expect it, you make him happy. For example, you just out of the blue, you just give him some money or you help him out with something, then Allah Ta'ala will grant you forgiveness. So, now he wrote in his letter all this year, this hadith, and explaining to him, now why am I doing this here? He says, the brother came to me with this request. He had a debt, 700 dirhams. So I said, okay, now it's my opportunity now. I got a time now to make this person happy. So I said, I wrote there 7,000. And then the second time when now he was expecting 7,000, he heard about the 7,000. Now I'm going to lose his reward. I'm going to lose the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. So that's why I wrote 14,000. I wrote 14,000 because he's not going to be expecting another 7,000. So that's why I wrote the 14,000. So in the hope that Allah Ta'ala will forgive me because of this hadith that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you make your Muslim brother happy and Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. So this is the conviction in the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the awliya Allah had. That is how you become a wali of Allah Ta'ala. And people nowadays, the Salafis, what they do, they just want to water down and count out, scratch out and scrape out every hadith of the hadith. No, this one is not sahih. Oh, that one is not, this one here is not right. Oh, that one is da'if. Awa awliya Allah. Every hadith, they heard, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said like this here, that unless you know this is now a fabricated hadith, and the you see in the Mufassirin say, no, this here is really a fabricated hadith. You don't follow this here. And if it was, even if it wasn't in the siha, the hadith is not in the siha, but it is found in other hadith kutub, in the kitabs, and is mentioned in various different kitabs. And then we make amal on it. We can make amal on it. And so the awliya Allah, they never thought, oh, this is not a sahih. It is not in Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud. It's not in any of the six authentic kitabs. And then we leave it out. No. Or even if it is in the siha, but it's not sahih or sah, then no, we leave it out. No. There's mursal, no. We don't make amal on that. No. Whatever hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have full conviction in it. That is how you get closeness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala make us of those awliya Allah who Allah Ta'ala gives us his special favors and Allah keep us on hidayat and take us with iman.
We say Jazakumullah khairan Muftisab, make dua for us too. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.